What's going on, people? Welcome back to another episode of The Build Up, and we have a really special episode for you guys. If you're watching on visual, you can probably notice there's a little something special going on, along with the usual suspects, Hassan and Abu, but we have a special guest for you today, man like H. You know him from TikTok, Twitter. Some people might call him, you know, the godfather of this new age of modern football analysis. We know him as H, but appreciate you joining, bro.
Yeah, man, it's good to be here. I mean, that's probably like the biggest like hype man intro I've ever got. Like,
that was mad. Yeah. You know how we do it over here at ST. We gotta big up our peoples, and really appreciate you joining. Obviously, the football is back. We're gonna get into anything and everything regarding Manchester United. Quick 1-0 win over Fulham on the opening day, a day in which, you know, a lot happened and nothing happened at the same time. It was a really, really weird game. But I guess we can just kind of go around and kind of get general thoughts to start with, kind of a bird's eye view, kind of macro perspective. You know how we do it. We're going to deep dive into it a little bit later in the pod, but just to be back at OT. Back at Old Trafford, see United in action in a meaningful Premier League game. It was fun to see. Obviously, for me, it left like my bowl was still a little bit empty, to be honest. Like, I didn't get my full experience that I wanted to. We left a lot on the table, I thought. But overall, I think some good individual performances. The out of possession structure continues to look like, in my opinion, the best part of this new kind of revamp structure that we're seeing. But we'll go to H first, see kind of like general thoughts on the game on Friday.
I think in the heat at the moment I described it as decent. Like, it was a bit hard. I'd probably just say like it was an okay performance. I just thought like in terms of the squad we were going into, I think a lot of people were looking at it like we had everyone in the team that like we'd signed. But like if you actually look at the squad, there wasn't a centre forward even in the team. Like De Ligt weren't playing, Yoro weren't playing. Obviously, we still had Casemiro in there, stuff like that. But I thought it was okay. I didn't think it was anything too great. I think, like you said, left the ball half full. I do think the pressing structure is decent. I've said this at the time. Like, I do think Manchester United have improved out of possession, especially over pre-season. And I think like the gap is a bit better in terms of where we want to be long term and where we are right now. But I would say that there were signs still against Fulham that I was thinking like one injury to like a Mason Mount, like we're going to speak about stuff like that. One injury to a Bruno Fernandes or something similar to that. I just think that ripple effect that it'll have on the whole pressing structure is like will just kind of make it crumble. I think for one, like Harry Maguire, I think was like incredible, and I think it just kind of it's testament to, you know, the critics who say like the high line stuff and the pace and all that kind of stuff. He was probably the most comfortable centre half in that high line that I thought against Fulham. But I think overall it was okay. I think it's so hard because of the two chances, well, the three chances. There was two Bruno ones and a Mount one that I was like, you know, score them, it's a bit different, all that kind of stuff. But then I was just looking at the transitions they had where we turned over the ball in the second half. I just think it was an okay performance. Like, I thought, in terms of if you split the game up into like three sections, like defense, midfield, attack, how did we perform in each phase? I think it was just okay. Like, I didn't think it was anything too exciting, and I didn't think it was anything too like game-breakingly like poor. I just thought it was okay. It's an okay start. It's an okay start.
Yeah, I agree with H, to be honest. In that whole game, I thought there was a lot of different sort of situations to take from it, because at the start of the first 20 minutes, we were really slow. We just couldn't keep the ball. Then we grew into the game in the first half. Then we had a lot of chances towards the end of the first half. We had that one-on-one. We had a few others. Just can't remember off the top of my head now. But yeah, and in the second half, we started off decent. And then when, like you mentioned, Mason Mount, important to the pressing structure, as soon as he went off, I thought there was a little drop in like performance. I thought the game was much more transitional, much more open. And yeah, it's just the game had so much different things to take away from it. We saw is like controlling the game a bit at the end of the first half, and then we saw us come out second half. We kept the momentum up, but then it dropped off, and I think all of this stuff, we can sort of link it back to the physical issues, the physicality issues, the fitness issues, and also how the players haven't had enough time to sort of go into this preseason as well. But yeah, there's a lot of different things you can take, I think.
I've just come back from Germany on a road trip, and I was watching the game on some dodgy German Wi-Fi. But from what I saw, the pressing structure improved, but not as significantly as I would have thought. And it seems like the structure has improved a little bit, but we look better pressing just because we have better athletes per se, which is, we all know that you need, you know, massive PMP athletes for a Ten Hag pressing system. As with Mason Mount, he, I don't know how many turnovers he forced in the first half. Like, it was insane. And backing up what Hassan said, as soon as he came off, it did seem a bit jumbled. As 1-2 passes and a bit more quality, Fulham could have had a few way more clear-cut chances. After the game, it was a bit like, it's still eerily similar to last season, in which they're still gaping holes, gaping big gaps, fullback not really joining the press quite a lot. You know, but, you know, when Xerxes came on, he looked very fluid, which is a positive. Casemiro, I'm going to call him Ozempic Casemiro because he's on the same drugs that Drake is on. He had the same surgery because he looks like a different man. Mazraoui, I'm loving Mazraoui so much. You know, so much so I tried to get a Moroccan t-shirt, but I had to get the closest. So I got a Tunisian one instead. But outside of that, I don't know. It's like, I'm much better than the start of last season against Wolves, which got ripped apart, but still a lot of things needed to work on. But, you know, just it was okay first game. It was an okay first game.
Yeah. I think it's such fine margins in sports, I always say, and especially in football. If Bruno buries those two chances, if Mount buries that chance, we probably go on to win that game 3-0, and we're coming on this pod talking about, oh, what about that performance? You know, it's scintillating, this and that. And on the flip side, if Fulham capitalized on one of those couple counterattacks that they had, we could be coming on here talking about starting off with the loss at OT. So you always have to look at things, and that's what we do here at ST, just try to look at things very neutral and objectively. But you kind of touched on some of the kind of standout performances there. Want to talk about Mazraoui to start. Coming in, you know, purchased, I think, or the deal was through on Wednesday, I think, and then Tuesday or Wednesday, and starting on Friday, probably only had one or two training sessions. Obviously, it helps that he's familiar with Erik ten Hag's system and, you know, has the ability, just the footballing ability, to think Erik ten Hag. And he talked about it in his interview, being able to find solutions under pressure is his biggest strength, he said, and we definitely saw that on display. I just thought it was super impressive, particularly in possession, but he surprised me a lot, just his pure defensive work rate and tackling and stuff. He had a few really, really important tackles to stop transitions and just defending in our own box as well. So I thought it was just an incredible overall performance from Mazraoui. What did you think, H?
Yeah, I thought the same as you. Like, I think what you're saying about the defensive and off the ball stuff, I was surprised by. Like, I just tweeted this like a few minutes ago, but like, I'm always like, it's really gray area to like try and think of how someone's going to physically adapt to like cross leagues and how they're going to look in Premier League football. It's like some leagues are just naturally smaller than others. Like, I remember like watching like Serie A football, and then they go and play them in Europe, and then they look so much smaller. And it's like, when he come to Manchester United, I watched him in the Champions League against Arsenal, so I kind of got a feel for it. But he looks massive. Like, he's so leggy. His legs are so big. I just remember watching, I think like some of his first few actions were like actual aerial duels. And his spring was so good. And I was just like, this guy's a proper athlete. And then I think I remember there was a couple moments I found it quite interesting how he played right back instead of Dalot playing right back and him playing left back. I'm not sure if that's going to sustain over the course of the season, but it was really like key what you just said there about the solution finding in build up, especially if he's being used as that third centre back all the time and Dalot's inside, and that's going to be the way the fullbacks are used. And I kind of understand it. Mazraoui's like the thing was with him and Ten Hag's Ajax team was always third centre back, can play midfield, can overlap, can underlap, can play between the lines, everything. He could have done everything for Ten Hag. And we've seen a similar thing against Fulham. And I was just really surprised by just how easy he found it overall. Like, he never really looks like, when someone comes to the Premier League and you're like, fucking hell, you look off the pace, kind of like really, really shaky and stuff like that. But he was just calm, like solid in duels. And then there was only a few times it happened. Like we mentioned that in the first question, but the pressing thing with the fullbacks, I remember he was pressing a lot more than Diallo on his side. And Diallo was constantly asking him to get up, and he was actually getting up and, you know, pressing people's blind sides. But I just think if that's what you're going to look like straight away after one or two training sessions, and you look that sharp, that good on the ball, not too overwhelmed by the intensity of the Premier League, and he only played 60 minutes, which is completely fine, or 70 minutes or whatever, it's completely fine, because if that's going to be the performances he's putting up every single game week, then I'm ecstatic with that. I think he's going to be top. Just need him to stay fit, man. This is always going to be the thing. Like, just need him to stay fit. And in the fullback area as well, it looks like we're not going to get Shaw and Malacia back anytime soon. So them two really do need to stay available throughout the course of the season, big time.
Yeah, just carrying on from what H said. Yeah, I agree with everything he really said. And it was nice to see how sort of proactive he actually was, especially in aerial duels and stepping up the pitch. But I think, I don't know, we'll touch on this later, but on one point is that he was joining the front of the ball. And if we do go to a sort of 4-4-2 diamond sort of system that Erik ten Hag played at Utrecht, if that's the right pronunciation, I think we'll see more of Mazraoui as a right back, because he has the ability to sort of overlap and play in, invert the pitch, play on the flank. You know, it's just, he'd be more of a better fit if we do go to a sort of 4-4-2 approach and put an extra man in midfield. Yeah.
With Mazraoui, I think the number one thing which stood out to me was that he was so calm and he helped quell a few fires. I remember when Martinez got burned by Adama, he came in and cleaned up at the back post. And I think it was his pass from left back, from the opposition corner, which set Rashford through, and which I believe he set up Mount as well. So just his overall qualities in possession, you know, tucking in, playing as a wide centre back, playing as a touchline right back, like, he could do it all. But, like, we do have to, backing on what H said, his injury record is very, very suspect. So I believe, you know, keeping him fresh, and just maybe, I believe he will be a first name on the team sheet until Luke Shaw and Malacia come back. Then he believe he'll come in and out of the team, which I'm not mad about. You know, 15 million is a good value signing, and he performed very well, very, very well. And he, to be fair, he was my man of the match up until the point he came out. So yeah, just gotta hope he can carry on. I mean, there's a reason why Bayern fans signed God knows how many signatures to keep him in De Ligt. Literally enough signatures to get it debated in Parliament. Like, there's a reason why he's a quality right back, quality player. And, you know, let's just hope, fingers crossed, he just stays fit.
I think it's quite surprising, like, the type of fullback they've gone for in Mazraoui. Like, it's took him this long to try and get, like, a... Like, for example, I think, well, in the first season, it wasn't really a problem because we had, like, Luke Shaw and Diallo and stuff like that. We were comfortable enough. But then last season, you know, we got like players like Reguilón, and we played centre-backs at left-back and stuff like that, and we never really looked like supremely good at like playing out from the back. I find it really interesting how no one thought like right-back was a cause for concern, but Erik ten Hag just kind of looked at the squad and gone, we just need more technical footballers to help out the back. And I just think like they've shifted so far across, and it's like, instead of going for a number six who can hold the ball, and everyone kind of knew this when Erik ten Hag was at Ajax, and I know he said he's not going to play the style, but I still think he has the same principles where the number six isn't your typical, like, your drop of the shoulder kind of player. He can use them. Obviously, we've seen like Frankie de Jong and stuff like that. But for the most part, in his most successful Ajax team, that has been like a stopper. And then the back four around it has just been like unbelievably technical. And I think it's really interesting how in this summer, he's kind of just carved out an area in the team where he can put one in. You know, I think it's really interesting for me because I think if Luke Shaw was fit coming into what we're doing right now, and he was fit for Fulham and stuff like that, which he may well have been before we signed Mazraoui, like, where would Diallo actually play? because if he's going for pure technical build-up players, then it's going to be Mazraoui and Luke Shaw if you're just focusing on that, which in my opinion is crazy because obviously Dalot had such a good season last season. But I think Ten Hag's just looking for like floor-raising build-up defenders anywhere, like anywhere he can get his hands on them. He's just looking for them. And yeah, I think that's like one of the reasons why we signed Yoro, because like when I watched Yoro, most people were like, oh, he's not progressive because of the numbers and stuff. But if you actually watch him, he like dances on the ball and he's really good in deep build-up when there's loads of pressure on him. So I just think it's very interesting that they've kind of carved out the holes in the squad to put extra technical footballers in, even if the squad already has players in them holes. I think it just shows how much Ten Hag's like dying for these players to be able to build up all the time. And obviously Onana's comments about risk-taking and stuff. So
I think the only complaint I have about Mazraoui is saying, yeah, you can replicate the connection with Anthony. No.
Yeah, it's
no,
not.
You mean you're going to form a connection with Ahmad? No, that Brazilian guy is not touching the pitch this season.
Yeah, I think
it's actually funny because I put that in one of the reports as well. Like when I went back and watched Ten Hag's Ajax, I was like, do you know what? Like Anthony is really bad, but Mazraoui made him look a lot better than he was.
Like, Mazraoui is half the reason he was worth that amount of money.
Yeah, honestly, if you actually watch him, he just makes so much space for him and he just helps him so much. And I was like, Jesus Christ, spent money on the wrong bloody, player.
Literally, the first game where the camera panned to the subs coming on, I saw Anthony move. I was like, no. I was like, God, yeah, no, please.
Bro, yeah, I tweeted that. You're coming on, and Anthony pops out. I don't know if you've seen that Office meme where like Angela's behind Dwight, and he like looks.
Yeah, literally, like, please, no.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that we didn't go for Mazraoui, but if you look in preseason, and obviously last season as well, they're using the 316 still as in build up, but. If we go for Ogata, I don't think if we do sign him, I don't think he'll play deep a lot in build-up. I think we'll use the variation that we've been using as a fullback plays the pivot. And if Mazraoui does, if Ogata does come in, and like I said, if we have a fullback pairing of Mazraoui and Luke Shaw, either of them could revert to join the double pivot in build-up, and I think we'll just adds a lot more flexibility. That means you can push either Shaw high or you can push Mazraoui high. So you get the sort of, you can still use the 3-1-6 build-up structure and you can still keep the amount of bodies you want in a sack. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just really weird now to look at our squad, even though we do still have injuries. We do have now these like good problems, quote unquote, where it's like, okay, yeah, Dalo had an insane season last year, player of the season. But there could be a situation where he's not even in the starting lineup, or Garnacho is unreal last season, but now Ahmad's come in and now they're fighting for that right wing spot. We're going to talk about Harry Maguire. You know, he's, when everyone's fit, he's probably the fourth choice center back, but having him as a fourth choice center back is incredible versatility. We're going to talk about Mason Mount. Him, you know, what he can bring in and out of the team, you know, that now we're, all of a sudden our squad is like, when fully healthy, obviously, is like coming from last year, like playing Lindelof and Amrabat at left back in his first game, to now like having these problems is like a weird position to be in, but also like incredible. But you know,
so when United hits everyone up against each other as well, like, United,
I know. It's so annoying. And it's like, just be grateful that we have good, like amazing.
As like, someone tweeted like, oh, what would your front three be at the start of Fulham? Like, would it have Garnacho? Would it have Rashford, Ahmad, Xerxes, Bruno? And I was just like, that's not a bad thing, you know. Like, City have this problem every year. No one complains about it.
The last 10 years have made Manchester United's like fans' abilities to think just gone.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like,
I don't want that guy playing. And now we've got a situation where like we want more than the front three playing or more than a midfield three playing. And it's like, that's not a bad thing. Like, we might have different like problems in terms of the profiles that are on them spots and stuff like that. But like in terms of the actual depth in quality, it's decent. And we've got a lot of good footballers on the bench now. Like, I was watching the bench against Fulham and people were coming off the bench. I was like, wow, this is great. That's like, yeah. I was used to bringing like Willie Campbell on at like 65th minute when we were like 2-1 yeah. down.
It's like, it's almost like a good club has squad depth. Honestly,
who would have thought?
Who would have thunk? Who would have thunk it? It's crazy.
I always go back to this one City stat that when they won the title 2 years ago, like none of their center backs started more than 19 games, and it's just like. It's just like crazy, like
that long like 20 games in the treble winning season. It's like one of their best players according to the media. And it's like, didn't even play.
It's like, the depth is just, especially how physical the Prem is. Like, you just have to have crazy squad depth. But I'm just looking
off the bench. Oh.
I know it's crazy. Like, I'm looking at our kind of like outline for today, and that's why I was like, a lot happened in this game, but nothing happened because we haven't even talked about. Maguire, Casemiro. We haven't even talked about Joshua Zirkzee at all, and he scored the winner. It's just like there's so much to get into. I think you touched on Maguire a little bit. I thought he had Abu said Mazraoui was his man of the match. I think they both came off at the same time. Harry Maguire, I can't say enough about the guy to come from where he was, arguably like getting the captain armband ripped off of you. At his lowest point, I don't think anyone could imagine that he'd get back to this level. Well. Say it again.
Miss the Euro squad as well.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like his resilience and his mental fortitude. He's one of the best professionals I've ever seen. To be honest,
why people keep around players like that. Like, there's a reason. Like. You need quality and stuff, and he is quality, and certain managers might not like him in comparison to other managers, but they will just never let, like, if everyone's turning against the manager, that these players are like the last players to actually turn on them. Like, everyone was saying it last season. No one was like rolling over for a man, like no one was rolling over for a manager to be sacked on the pitch. Like, no one. So yeah,
it's crazy. But yeah, let's get into a little deep dive into what the play was actually like. I kind of want to start in possession because I remember H, you tweeted, I think it was after the last preseason game or maybe the Community Shield game, about Ten Hag's build up structure ideas and the numbers that we or lack thereof that we're committing to the build up and how it still kind of looks like we're a little bit void of ideas. Like there's not necessarily it still looks a little bit off the cuff. And I mentioned earlier kind of how this kind of new revamped thing, a lot of it, in my opinion, is the out of possession stuff that's been really good, but the in possession, especially in the buildup, has still not been great. I think in the final third, we've been a lot better just based on the quality of players that we have and kind of all of their strengths are, you know, final third base, but the buildup still is leaving a lot to be desired. What are you saying there?
No pun intended.
There you go.
Yeah, it's true. Do you know what? I tweeted that after the Community Shield game, like you just said there, and I actually thought it was better against Fulham, but I think it was, I can't remember who said it, but someone said that like we look better out of possession because we've got better players in the team now, and like we've got better physical players in the team. Just like the structure has like changed, but it also looks substantially better because we've recruited more physical players. I think that was almost the same for the Fulham game, but I'm not going to use that as a stick to beat Ten Hag with, because that is how it should be. If you want to build up deep, you should have really good technical footballers. The thing is with me in the build up is it's just. There's no one, like, it's just too shallow. Like, I just look at the build-up and you've got, like, Onana, Martinez, Maguire, and then you'll have Mazraoui at right centre-half, and then you'll have a midfield of Casemiro, and then Dalot will be, like, playing left wing or something. And I just think it's too light. And I know what he's trying to do. I know he's trying to, like, pin them really far forward so they can pin the markers back, and then they can play through the space, have loads of options in the forward line, and then obviously attack space, which is what he's done this entire Manchester United tenure. But I just think, I don't know, I prefer structured build-up. I prefer to understand what I'm getting, and I prefer the players to understand what they're getting and where they're going to pass to at every moment. I don't like seeing rotations and build-up where like Maguire's stood at like right back with the ball, or Maguire's in midfield. Like Johnny Evans talked about after his debut against Burnley, like he's being asked to go into midfield, and I understand why he's doing it. But I think with the profiles he's doing it with, he doesn't gain you anything. With Martinez, if you're putting Martinez in there, and that's great because, you know, he can turn on the ball and stuff. But I still think that rigid build-up with, like, a really thin squad, I like in terms of, like, the amount of technicians we've got to build, like, we've not got two really good build-up midfielders and et cetera, et cetera. I just think, like, a flat base of really structured, disciplined, like, 2-4, 3-2, whatever. But it just changes in so much. And I know it obviously leaves the opposition with, like, a problem where they've got to change and, you know, they've got to keep markers and they can move around stuff. But I don't know. I think it's just, it's too off the cuff for me. Like, I understand why he's doing it, but I just think, like, certain people get the ball and they just don't know where the next move is. They just don't know. Like, if you were watching, like, a De Zerbi team or a Pep team or an Arteta team, they know where everyone's stood in build-up and they know who the next passing option is. They don't have to check the shoulder or take 2 seconds to scan or anything like that. It's just bam, bam, bam. It's all routine. It's all playground stuff. But yeah, I will give him and the United team credit for the Fulham, because I actually thought in possession Fulham were against Fulham, we were pretty good. They are quite a decently high pressing team. Like, they're not a great high pressing team, but they do press and they do cause teams problems when they do want to press. So I just thought it was decent. I can't remember a moment where we turned over the ball in deep build up at all. I thought we broke through quite nicely, and I thought when we broke through, we held it in the final third quite nicely. But this will be tested over time. But I do believe that simply just because of how much better certain technical footballers are in the team, like Mazraoui and like Martinez being back, etc., like, that will just make us a better build-up team, a better build-up outfit. And yeah, I can't use that as a stick to beat Ten Hag with, because he's now got the privilege to do this sort of build-up with better technicians back in a team.
Yeah, especially in sort of when we got into our groove, we looked much better on the ball. But as we become more transitional in the game, sort of, we tried so many long balls, and it sort of gives you shades of last season where we're just trying to force it long after every touch. I think of doing that, I think you can look into obviously the fitness levels a bit. Like, are they actually fully fit, all of them? Or do they want to, like, play a build-up or just want to punt it long, get rid of it, and it just comes back? I think there's ways to look at it as well, but we do look better on the ball, I think, especially attacking. I feel like last season, the attackers didn't know, like, where to go. Like, if that makes sense, I feel like the rotations and tactics were just too slow. They weren't getting beyond the last line, but we saw against Fulham that, you know, Rashford was in good areas, Ahmad was in good areas. Obviously, Bruno was playing strike, but got in behind as well. And yeah, I feel like that could be something that Rude's working with as well. Obviously, he's working out of possession as well, and it could be something that is obviously improving. So, yeah.
I will say a centre forward would make the build up better as well, like an actual centre forward on the pitch.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Xerxes obviously has his own stuff, so, where he can drop deep. Yeah. And Højlund has the running beyond. So either centre forward would either stretch the game or make us better on the ball. So I still think, like, that was the only problem that I had with a Fulham game. It was like when we got past the build up point, it was like there was just no movement on the last line. Yeah. Because it was just Mount and Fernandez like that. And they were just so static.
We saw the difference when Zexy came on and then Bruno went a bit deep. Yeah. The goal came from Bruno being deep. But
I think for me, it's like, it's just like Hate says, it's like the centre backs, when they have to move forward into midfield, they just don't know what to do. They look like a fish out of water, essentially. So when you don't have the required profiles for these positions, as soon as they're 1-2 injuries, like we saw last season, it just all goes, it's a mess. It's a mess building up. And that's always been my issue with Ten Hag. It requires perfectionism from almost every position in the back line in order for it to work. And you're not going to get that in football. You're going to get injuries. That's just football. That's his life. It's going to happen to you. But it seems like which is why it led to the line dropping so deep. And there was such a high midfield line last season, a massive gap in midfield, like we talked about like a bazillion times. I think in possession, the biggest shock has been like Casemiro for me in possession. Like, he looks a lot more punchy. Like, he always looks to break through right through the middle. Sometimes it's a bit annoying because I think there was 1-2 instances in the Community Shield and against Fulham where he could have played Ahmad on the right-hand side, but he kept on trying to force it through the middle to Bruno. And the one time it did work, it was an amazing pass which Bruno should have finished. It looked good. But in possession, like Hassan said, later on in the game we go long, it just always automatically revert into, okay, we got Rashford, he's quick, just do a long ball to him. Let's just do a long ball to him and just hope he cooks like his two seasons ago. And it just seems a bit, that's why we need a strict, rigid positional play in which the players have an idea what's
going on. He's not discouraging how much Casemiro plays long. Like, you can't, I can't beat Casemiro up with these like things like, oh, he's too aggressive on the ball, he's too vertical, he launches these balls. Like, that's been the way since he joined United. Like, if that was a thought in Ten Hag's mind, believe me, Casemiro would be trying to spin on the ball and play out and drop between the centre out. You know, he'd do all of that if that was the case. But I think Erik ten Hag, like you said, he likes the fact that he does that. And obviously there will be times where it works out, but there will be other times, like in spells in the Fulham game, where it's just so many. And it's like you turn over the ball, we're going high, the back line's low, compactness opens up, and then boom, massive gap. And that'll continue to happen. And it's just basically all about getting the balance right. And that's what I'm saying. Like you said there, you prefer like rigid, structured kind of play, and long balls is a last reserve. And if you play long, it's down the line and you pin it and all that kind of stuff. Like, that's what I prefer. But yeah, watching Casemiro play like five long balls in the space of like 2 minutes down the centre, looking for someone who's running in behind, is like really painful. And obviously, like, it might work, but it's like if it overhits and Rashford's then off the pitch behind the goal, you're literally like 9 against 11, and it's just like, it's just so pointless. But yeah.
I think Lukaku was sticking to sort of one structure, if we do it, it sort of indicates to us that Ten Hag wants players that are more adept at finding their own solutions, like bringing players, having the backup players being competent at that as well. And I think obviously we've got Masraoui and Dalo on the right side now, it sort of leads into that as well. Like, Richard play both of them can or do what he wants, so if we do get injuries, then we'll just slot right in. But yeah, it's risky, and we've still not seen it work yet, but when it does come off, then it looks nice. But as in, for a full Premier League season, something like this, it's something that obviously we can't see if it works or not.
I still think the back line's too low, by the way.
Yeah, if we do get Ugarte, I think the midfield will push higher and automatically the back line sort of push further. So, like, Ugarte could get the midfield to push and then the back line could.
I still think there were times out of possession where it looked like Fulham could slice us through with 1-2 passes, that Pereira chance. Maguire turning into Prime Maldini, using his big toe to stop that 1-on-2, 2-on-1. Honestly, it just, there's still too many instances where if one thing goes wrong, teams can cut right through us and they're running in behind us. And you could say, yeah, the midfield should step up a certain time. But it's just like, it's been two seasons and we're still seeing the same stuff. It's a bit like, it shouldn't be this easy for the opposition to cut through us. And if a better team than Fulham, which there are many better teams than Fulham in this league, like, it's there's going to be times where they're going to take advantage of us, where, you know, the Adame cutback is going to reach someone, in which Pereira could be another player who's actually going to pick out a player and he's actually going to score. Like, there's too many like half chances or chances we give away every game. And hopefully, you know, as Euro comes back, as De Ligt gets, you know, get some minutes, we'll see. Obviously, they're better physical profiles than Maguire and, you know, the likes of Lindelof and even Martinez. Like, we're going to see better 1v1 defending out wide and, you know, maybe less chances like that happening. But it's just like, we still get turned over way too easily for my liking.
I think they're awful on the ball. They were so bad on the ball. Like, I know, like, people were like, oh, you force errors. And, like, we were forcing errors. But, like, Jesus, they were so bad. And what's the midfielder called? Like, Lukic?
Lukic,
awful. He's painful to watch.
Imagine that was Villa running at us.
I know what you mean.
With the Bruyne or Liverpool.
Fulham had better centre backs on the field. They cut through back as a few passes, but yeah, it's just, I don't know yet. It's too early to see, but like, you can't judge it yet.
I'm not judging it yet, but it's still a bit annoying that against
a saying,
bottom half limited old habits die hard. They can still turn us over that easily.
Did anyone see like the Litz like 10-minute cameo? Like, I don't know if anyone caught it, but it was one moment.
We're gonna
swipe it.
Committed out wide. I told you we're deleting those tapes. We're deleting the tapes already deleted. I already sent it to the Prem. When he committed out wide, bro, I cried. I literally cried.
Listen, anyone tries to share those videos,
he actually did recover.
Anyone tries to share that delete clip, you're gonna have SUVs outside your house.
There's one moment where he tried to cut the lines too. I think it was like his first pass.
Oh yeah, cut it out. Yeah, we almost competed for that.
He's into it, bro.
Someone said Old Trafford got on his back and he just started running about. Oh, it was,
I hear it. Prem debut.
He did one pressing thing and he started going like that to everyone. Like I was like. It's like, no.
Take a touch. OT was his first baddie. It's calm.
Yeah. He lost his head. None of that next game, please.
we'll ease into it. Okay. I do want to have just a little bit of a more nuanced conversation about out of possession, though, and particularly Mason Mount. I know people are going to say, oh, you're going on about Mason Mount again. I've been at the front of the Mason Mount Brigade, fighting the good fight, taking bullets, all that stuff. But I think this conversation is going to be null and void, potentially, because I do think when a 9 comes in, he is the one that just, like, regardless of how much I value what he does for the team and how integral and how vital he is to, as I said, the most impressive thing about this new structure, the out of possession and the press and how much ground he covers and how intelligent he is with when to go and when to, I guess, stay in the shape. Just heading for this press and this out of possession stuff. And we've seen when he went out, how much it went off a cliff, but he is the one that just doesn't fit because he's not an out and out 10. He can't be your primary creator. And Bruno's never getting, if Bruno's available, he's going to play. And when we have that, obviously Xerxes is probably, I wouldn't be surprised if he started next game, but he's eventually going to start, or Hoyland's going to start in that 9 role. Bruno's going to drop. And I think United will just have to sacrifice less effectiveness in that 4-4-2, 4-2-4 press that's been really effective for more firepower going forward, for more creativity in that 10 role, for an improved, build up with an out and out focal point, an out and out number 9. And so it's a really interesting conversation, I think, because I think he is like the tipping point, or like he's a really extreme like domino effect, whether he's in the team or out of the team, it can like swing either way. But again, it's another one of these like good problems to have, I think, like we've been discussing, like in big games. I think Hassan mentioned it, just having him in there, being able to put him in. I think we missed him a lot. I think he missed like pretty much every big game. Like I remember him getting hurt right before the Arsenal game, and I was like, we would have just really loved to have him in that game. But yeah, I guess I'll open the floor with kind of that comment into like, how do you feel like he fits into this team? How do you feel about his performances so far? Just kind of give me your thoughts.
Yeah, I think what Hassan said is in the chat is sacrifice right wing, and like it's gonna happen. I think we were speaking a few weeks ago on the set that basically Erik ten Hag is gonna try and get all four midfielders in, and it's gonna be Kobbie, Casemiro, Bruno and Mount, and he will find a way to get all four in. And I think the system that we played against City, I think when we played Bruno off the right, I think we put McTominay behind the 9, and then we did Kobbie and Casemiro as a double pivot. I think in bigger games he will call upon Mason Mount and he'll put Bruno at right wing, and he'll do something like that. But honestly, like, I just, as the weeks go by, the Mason Mount signing, like, I thought at the time, has like great legs in the press. He's young enough. He's homegrown, all that kind of stuff. I was just like, where is he fitting? Like, it was such a weird sign at the time. Like, I think everyone remembers that the Wolves and Spurs game, it was Casemiro, Mount and Bruno. And every single person was looking at that going, gee, this is not sustainable. And even with inverted fullbacks and Mount playing in a double pivot, it doesn't get the best out of Mason Mount. Like, I think Mason Mount played as the second deepest midfield. He played the Eriksen role from the first season, in the second season, in the first two games. But he wasn't dropping anywhere near as deep as he should have been. So we were effectively playing 4-1-4-1, but like the four was like well higher than the other four. And that's what created the gaps in the separation against Spurs and Wolves that just kind of, you know, rolled on for the rest of the season. But I think he was brilliant. Like, I think in pre-season, he was brilliant at it. Like, I think as soon as we saw the two flat strikers, and I think there was one game he played with Sancho. I think it might have been the Arsenal game. I can't remember. But it was one game he played with Sancho up front and they were the two. And his communication with Sancho and telling how Sancho when to drop and when to go and when to lock off, it was like, he's so good at it and it's so valuable. And for a team that suffers so much off the ball as we did last season, he is a kind of an integral piece of the team. But he's also not, because he can't play in the best United team, if that makes sense. Like, if every player's fit, he doesn't get into the team just because of how the squad's made up. So I think it will be a matter of sacrificing a certain position in the team to get four midfielders in, just so we can get the legs for the press. But I just don't know, honestly. It's a worrying case for me, because if obviously we talked about having strength in depth, but the problem is Mason Mount's depth is Bruno Fernandes in like any state of United where he's best. His depth is Bruno Fernandes. He's not the second midfielder. He's not the deepest one. Off the wing, maybe. But he's behind, by far, Manchester United's best player. Like, it's not going to happen. Bruno could have an awful 3 months and he would not be dropped. Like, there's that much credit in the bank, especially under Ten Hag now. And I just worry for him. I think he's a top player. I think he's really good. I want to see him more on the ball. Like, I really want to see more of him on the ball, because he is good on the ball, despite what everyone says about him being just out of possession. Like, he can turn on the ball. Like, I want to see him deeper than Casemiro at some point if they play with him with Bruno. I want to see him trying to do what Cobbie does, because he might not be an expert at it, but he's definitely done it before for Chelsea and I've watched him do it before. So, like, I want to see him deeper and picking up the ball and doing the second midfielder role, rather than just being a pure pressing machine. Because whilst he is good at that, this is also a good footballer, not just a good out-of-possession player. But yeah, I've struggled to see where he gets in long-term in the best Manchester United team. I really do.
Yeah, it's like that Palace. Remember that Palace game? Like, it was FA Cup third round or something last year, where he was playing that deeper role and he was hooping. He was just cross-field switches, getting on the ball in the half turn. He was pulling.
He will try that again. There's no way if they're all fit, he's not going to try that midfield again. Because it was the one that started Wolves, we were garbage, and he followed it right back up Spurs away with the same midfield. So he's going to try it one more time at least. It's just when we see that, and you'll see the intention of what he wants to do with Mason Mount or that second midfielder, just based off that game purely. Because if he's on the same line as Bruno, it's so over, like, for that game, whenever it is. Because it's going to come, like, that game when that midfield plays. Because I just don't see, like, I don't want Manu playing that many minutes again. So he's going to take up that. He's going to take up that position. So, yeah, it's going to happen. And yeah,
I think for me, there's a meme on NBA Twitter where it says that guy was just doing nothing but running around. And that was what it looked like Mount was doing against Fulham. He'd make a great 1,500-meter runner. I'll give him that. But on the ball, he was basically virtually, like, non-existent. But the thing is, I agree with H. Like, his best position in the Chelsea team was as a left-handed midfielder. That is his best position. However, if we were to play, for example, two tens, you know, have Mount on the left-hand side and Bruno on the right-hand side, we can't have Manu as a sole number six. There has to be someone next to him, you know, Casemiro. But then when there's a right-winger goal, like, I think it's just, you have to move too much around to get the best out of him. He's a great player. He's a great player. We saw what he did in the Champions League final for Chelsea. We saw what he did for those three seasons. He was played an absurd amount of minutes, which I think led to his injuries last season. He's a great footballer, but does he get into the best Manchester United team? The answer is simply no. However, can he still be useful this season? I'm sorry to say, CK, yes, he can be useful, but he's not. I don't think he gets into the best United team. Like, he's a good footballer, a very good footballer, great pressing trigger. You know, like I said, he caused so many turnovers against Fulham in that first half. But in possession, I just want to see more from him. And like Hayes said, he was playing that Eriksen role, but he's not a ball circulator like that, in my opinion. I think he's more of a guy, gets the ball in the half turn, looks to drive, looks to play three balls in behind, you know, final third goal threat. But I just, I don't know. It's
What midfield would you have to play? Like, you would have, if you were to try and get the best out of him, you would have to go him next to Cobbett with a six behind, probably.
That's what I'm saying. We need to buy someone that can hold. If we bought Amadou Onana, if we bought all the Onana, everyone's life would just be. We would so be living bad. In, you know, that one Ronaldo video where he's just like juggling and like laughing. That's life.
We would be on the beach sipping pina coladas. Oh, if God. We got Amadou Onana.
I want someone to ask Ten Hag about Mason Mount, because like for me at the time the signing come around, like do you not remember like the amount of stick that Manchester United got on Twitter for thinking that Casemiro, Mount, and Fernandes could work. And, like, I think most Manchester United fans were like, oh, it'd be good if it did work, but it's just never going to work. And it's like, well, how did we ever think that was going to happen? And now you fast forward a year later and you've got an even more important player in Kobbie Mainoo who's now come through the ranks, who's now in that second midfielder spot. And it's like Mason Mount must be actually worried about, like, what's going on, because there's no pathway into this team for him. Even if Bruno drops out the team, and he becomes the 10. He's not creative enough to be our lock picker. Like, he's not creative enough to be the heartbeat creator of the team. So long term, I just can't see where he goes. And it's a shame, because I actually really like him.
I think for this season, because of how he sort of like two lower where this first nine were against Man City in the FA Cup final and then in the midfield again, I think we'll try to replicate sort of like a 4-3-2 diamond or like a 4-4-2 diamond for a lot, because of how much the Hag now values like getting the body left in the field, because obviously the bigger gap last season. I think if we put all four midfielders, I think it will happen a lot. I think this season again in big games, but I think we will sacrifice the right in the.
Yeah, it's a conundrum, man. It really is, because
Diamond is the only way, like, they can all fit in a four. Like what Hassan's saying, like, Diamond's the only way you can get all four in and it be sustainable. But a 4-4-2 Diamond, like, we all watched that Brighton at home game where Rashford played up front with Højlund. It was shocking. And there's no way, like, that shape is outdated. It's not good. Like, there's a reason why no one uses narrow shapes anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, it just out of possession, it can bear, like, it can sort of work. But you just look at a team and you just go, Jesus, like, it's just so hard to play that.
We have two of our most exciting players.
Yeah, and we've got so much wing
the right wing. Yeah. And we're talking about sacrificing the right wing, but two of our breakout stars,
like,
play there.
4-4-2 Diamond long term. You miss out, like, none of these players, like, maybe Ahmad can play inside, but none of these players can play inside. Rashford, well, as like a midfielder, he could play up front, but Rashford, Garnacho, Antony, that all of them would be like pretty much done. Like, Antony.
Last one.
Sancho. Antony, long-term interior. I remember that Galatasaray away performance where he was interior.
Oh, yeah.
That was a crazy...
He passes full his whole fan base, and the only diamonds are, like, the one you wear around your neck. The diamond formation is done in 2024. I think we bought Mount because we were like, oh, my God, Chelsea's, like, best player being for, like, we can buy him for 55 million. Let's just do it. I think this current setup, that, you know, this current team we got right now would never have ever bought him. Would have realized it doesn't run the right profile. 55 million as well for a guy who has just 1 year left in his contract.
He's just good. He's just so good.
This is really harsh on him. This is really harsh on him. Mount is a Glazer signing. It's really harsh on Mount, but Mount is a Glazer signing.
He's a name.
He's English. Yeah. He's English, he's likable. He was in the England setup. He's won a Champions League. He's at another top six club, or another big six club, because he's not top six. But Big Six club, and like that is it. Like that for them, Glazers, and it was available for £50 million or whatever it was, and Glazers were like, wow. Look at this.
Yeah, this will do. This will sell. Yeah, like
they got the number seven. Number seven is like,
number seven is crazy. Number seven's a madness. That was crazy.
I don't care about the number seven, but giving it to a midfielder was mental. Like, it makes no sense.
Yeah.
Like,
Glazonomics, baby.
And he's on a lot of money. Obviously, like, I don't really care about the money, but like the money he was given is like, that's like proper Glazer stuff. Like, this is such a Glazer contract.
I do think like if something like I think he just needs like one, like everything is just like gone. I remember his first preseason game where he like missed that sitter. And he was like wide open net. Like, and then it's just like ever since then he's just gone on. He scores a winner against Brentford in the 90 something minute. We concede 2 seconds later.
That was the funniest thing.
He comes on against Chelsea, has an insane cameo. We somehow lose the game. Like, it's just misses that
cameo. Was mint.
He was so good.
Where did he play that game? I remember watching.
I think he played like left wing or something.
Yeah, he played like on the wing or something. And he like just rolled up.
Like, and he misses the one. Yeah. He's going crazy.
I'm gonna do the Michael Jackson meme. Just let it go.
I'll die on the hill, bro. I'm dying on the hill. I know, to be fair, I prefaced this whole conversation by saying, this whole conversation is gonna be null and void because he's gonna be out of the team regardless when Xerxes or Højlund comes back into the team. Speaking
would've
of,
been crazy, would have been a crazy buy for Liverpool. I'll say that would have been a crazy
Liverpool
buy.
Or Arsenal. Him in that left center mid spot for Arsenal.
Liverpool
if he was there instead of like, I don't even not like Szoboszlai, but like, I don't even not like him, but like if he was there, I don't know. I just think I'd vote way better. I could see that. I could just see that.
He has poor advisors, aka his dad.
Yeah,
I think.
That clip of him in the dressing room, and his dad's
he's like, "What about this, bro? It should be perfect, bro." That's what I'm saying. It should be perfect.
DK, you fell for the fairy tale.
I'll never give up. I'll never give DK, up on it.
DK, I remember like, the guy that actually hated Instagram.
You fell for the Instagram, then you met her in real life, and she was a catfish. Bro, just let
no,
it go.
But she's. But she puts him. She puts him work though. She might not be the most glamorous, but she's giving me everything I need, man.
Listen,
she's not the 10 out of 10 IG model, but she's the 7 out of 10. She cooks for you every night. She's making great meals.
Guess what, my bro? Guess what? You go to sleep every night thinking I could do better. So just let it go.
Grass, grass ain't always greener. Let me just tell you that. Grass ain't always greener.
Hey, you're right on that one. You're right on that one, my brother. You're right on that one. But
I remember that signing day was crazy. Like they set up like that massive thing outside for him on a balcony.
Bro, remember when he did the turn like in the chair? He turns around and he looks at the camera, bro.
We're actually the funniest club ever, man. Like, we're not serious at all. Honestly, we need to fix up big time.
Hey, listen, the piano with Sanchez, the mount turning in the chair. Like, bro, I've been sold a lot of dreams.
Do you remember the outrage when he got 7? Like, no one knew it was coming.
No, that's an outrageous decision, to be honest. They set him up to fail.
I'm happy Garnacho never got it. This guy would have probably got his teeth set on head on like Ronaldo. Like,
I don't just give it to no one.
Yeah, it's not necessary to give it to anyone. Just leave it vacant. Like, yeah, it would just be so fun. And now everyone's like, Calistri.
He's
going to Greece, bro. Calistri, it was a pleasure.
It was a pleasure.
But it wasn't. Quickly, before we wrap up, quick Brighton thoughts. Tough game away at the Amex. Does Xerxes come in? You think Xerxes comes in? We literally didn't talk about the guy who won us the game one time, by the way. Great.
Good player.
It was crazy because when he came on, he didn't touch the ball for like 20 minutes. And then he got on and had those two touches scored. And then he started like really feeling it. You could tell.
I like how nonchalant he is. Like,
he's
at Old Trafford, and he's running behind the net like jogging. I was expecting like a bloody knee slide and jump into the crowd. I don't know. I like it because it means like I hate like emotional players at this club is like the biggest like fall down, like when players get too emotional on the pitch, like it's nice or like a cooler head.
You didn't like Weghorst sprinting into the corner flag after
Or Casemiro throwing himself at everything, or you know, honestly, emotionality at this club is crazy on the pitch and off the pitch. Like
going off to Xerxes, I think is like as CK said, as soon as he scored, he started hooping, you know, little drag backs. And there's one thing which I really liked in like the 93rd minute, we could have, I think he could have played, was it Garnacho? Could have forced through like a proper tough ball to Garnacho, but he just dragged it back, played it back. Smart player, like look at the context of the game, played the game out, and his goal was excellent. His goal was something which I thought was a bit of a weakness of his, like his box movement. Because I saw for Bologna, he didn't score that many goals, but his overall play was amazing. But then he plays the ball out wide, and then you know, as soon as the ball gets to, I think it was Garnacho, good crossing, and then he just runs onto it. I thought he shinned it or he used his knee. Like it was a weird angle until he actually saw he scored. Like it was a great finish with his left, and
that's gonna work really well with Bruno.
Yeah, literally, that shows to me already that he's already improving his box movement. And there was a few times in which I think Rashford did a few balls across the box, and there was literally no one there. And he looked, and it was like, bro, we need someone to like, you know,
yeah, there was one that he was late on,
To be on that last line. And I thought that would be a weakness of Xerxes, but it seems like it's something he's trying to improve on his movement. I think that's a, you know, testament to Rude's work already in training, like our future gaffer in 3 months. But like, yeah, like it's work in training already. But like, I generally think that it's gonna be excellent for in terms of our build up play, passing at the back, and as Harry. He's massive. He's like 6'4". Like he's a big player. He's not a weak boy. So I feel like his physical attributes would translate well to the Prem. And you know, it just reminds me of Martial 2015, man.
Yeah.
That goal against Liverpool.
He's gonna drop so deep. I don't think people are actually ready for how deep he dropped.
Bro, like, on his goal. He was at like the top of the D when
Like, I remember seeing his heat map and he had like 9% of his touches on a semicircle. And I was like, Jesus Christ.
But I think you noticed it, like as soon as he got the ball in the semicircle and he turned. Rashford and Garnacho literally went boom. They literally like run on. Like even though he never got many chances to slip them through, you could see the work already. There's already a pattern of play where Xerxes gets on the ball, the wingers just gonna run in. And with Garnacho and Rashford running in behind, I think that's gonna suit them very well this season. But that's
I did a post about that before we signed him. How much touches he could have like deep. And he said in that post as well that like Rashford and Garnacho was sort of narrow as well. And it's all been, I think, and one of them would roll up for the ball too. So yeah, that's actually fine, I think.
I want to see him and Hoyland as well at some point.
It's gonna
be a nice one.
Like always, like two up top.
Yeah, it'll be. I mean, if he can make it's like prime winger, so I think he can make Rashford look pretty damn good. But let's just quick Brighton predictions. You think it's gonna be? I'm feeling one of those games. Yeah, it's at the Amex, 7:30, whatever that is for me.
I'm gonna go on a limb
and
say 3-1 United, only because that Brighton high line is too high. Like that's insanely high. And if we have Rashford running in behind, if we have Garnacho running in behind. And Xerxes playing them through and Bruno playing a bit deeper, those Casemiro long bombs will actually maybe work once or twice in a game. You know, fingers crossed, you never know. So I feel like we'll actually get in behind a fair few times, but Brighton did look damn good against Everton. Mm. If Danny Welbeck...
Did anyone actually watch the game? Because I don't know anything about this manager.
I don't... He's 31, right. That's all I know.
Do you know how crazy it is that Brighton's
manager? He's super young.
Brighton's manager coming out, I was like, I don't know who that is. It's like, literally.
They look good, though. They should have won by, like, generally by 5 or 6 against Everton.
But they did. They should have eaten that. Did you see the penalty that got overturned from Everton?
Yeah.
That was a madness. How that gets overturned is great. Matt's wife looked a little bit of a spooky debut, I'm not going to lie. But I mean, you know, Brighton, they have quality. I mean, that front four is pretty spooky.
They've got better technicians than Fulham. And I don't know. Yeah. I think the wingers will cause big problems. I'm really sorry. Like, I've been bigging him up this podcast, but like Mats Rowie, like, lock in, because
yeah, Minta, Matoma,
Dingra, I will say one thing though, Danny Welbeck. If you score against United and celebrate again,
oh, he's for sure scoring, bro. He's
after you scoring. Missed that chip against Manuel Neuer. I haven't forgotten that chip against Manuel Neuer. You tried, all right. You score and celebrate against. I don't know what I'm gonna do because I love that guy growing up, and yeah, 15 years and he's still banging in goals. They have got a lot of positions. I think they're back, rookie though. I think that we're actually running in behind. I think we'll catch them on a break a few times. I think. Hassan, what do you think?
I'm yet to watch them. Like, I've seen the goals, but I'll probably say 1-1. Genuinely, like,
yeah, I can see that for sure.
2-0. Yeah. I don't know. I just think they're a much better side than Fulham. I don't know. It's hard because like we've got so many players who haven't played yet this season. Like Xerxes probably maybe going to start. Like De Ligt's maybe going to start. So it's just going to be a bit strange. And
I don't know.
I just look at their wingers and I just think that's a lot. That's a lot to deal with.
Yeah, long day.
I think Minta is injured.
I think he got like some sort of like concussion. Mikalenko. Decked him like.
Yeah, only got a ding, bro. Sorry. Right,
yeah, it's gone. He scored two when he came on, so
it's tough.
It'll be a long day, but hopefully we can get it done. At least get.
What's your prediction, CK? You haven't said it.
That's a good point. I have a terrible feeling about it.
It just strikes when we're kicking off. Let me find out when we're actually kicking off because it just strikes me as one of them.
I think it's 12:30. Or no, it's a tough day.
Ruins the weekend. Straight away.
Yeah.
Everyone's in
early kickoff.
Saturday, you've got Paul Merson saying manager should go. It's over. I could just say, like, they're the type of games that you lose. Like, I don't know.
João Pedro, 29th minute.
Yeah, João Pedro. Yeah. Viper called off a second. Yeah.
Evan Ferguson.
We have looked good defending set pieces, I'll say. Way better.
Yeah, we do.
New coach is kind of doing numbers. It's probably a conversation for a later day. But, yeah, I think we got through everything eventually. I know we went a little bit over. Appreciate the time, H, as always. Obviously, if you don't know H, you're probably living under a rock. But remind the people where they can find you, where you're at, where you're doing your work, that sort of stuff.
So I'm HOMUFC pretty much on all platforms, and I also do tactical analysis for the Overlap.
Say it again.
The Overlap.
Overlap.
Yeah, he's buddy. new content this season, so it's gonna be a bit crazy. Hence why I've got my face out.
Yes, sir. We're teaching Ace the face man ways.
Ace man arc incoming for Ace.
It's not my first date. It's not my first date. Web first date.
Yes, sir. But yeah, I appreciate you coming on, Ace. Big up. Good to have you on. Hopefully, have you on some more times this season. Son, Abu, the usual. Appreciate y'all as always. And we will be back after the Brighton game. Probably talking about a João Pedro penalty and a Dingra running ragged on whoever's playing left back.
Non-contact muscle injury, I thought.
Yeah, probably. As you can see, we're really positive here at ST.
Because no one knows what to expect. Everyone's still like so convinced.
Oh my gosh! All right, good time. We'll see you on the next one. Peace.
See you.